Jordan, so near banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. For 80 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. You're about to listen to another Bible-based lesson with Jody Apple on International Gospel Hour, starting now.
Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 1 of week number 26, studying Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, the longest chapter in Matthew's record, chronicles the plot to put Jesus to death, his betrayal by Judas, his last Passover with the apostles, the initiation of what we know to be the communion or the Lord's Supper, Jesus' threefold petition to the Heavenly Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, his arrest, his trials, and Peter's denial. We are nearing not only the end of Matthew's narrative, but the end of Jesus Messiah's life. Please join us as we read, as we study, and as we work our way through this key chapter in Matthew and in the life of the Christ. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. At that page, you will find links to audio and video files, print materials, e-books, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, links to our Bible study courses, and much more. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Check out these two resources at our free page. First, John William McGarvey's sermon on baptism. More than 30,000 people have already seen it online at our Facebook pages. It starts with this premise. Imagine that we have never heard the word baptism. McGarvey started his lesson by surveying the first two chapters of Matthew. And then, when he got to Matthew 3, he slowed down. Why? Because that's where the word baptism appears for the first time in the New Testament. As McGarvey worked his way through the text, he imagined that neither he nor his audience had ever encountered the word baptism before. He studied each passage with the intent of, as he worded it, letting the New Testament itself explain it to me. Whether you do or do not know what Scripture teaches about baptism, you would do well to take the time to read and or hear McGarvey's lesson. It's linked at the free page of internationalgospelhour.com, and it's also linked at facebook.com/internationalgospelhour. Second, let me encourage you to listen to the 6-lesson audio series, The Beatitudes, the first thing that Jesus taught. Why listen to this series? First, it's an interesting passage for many reasons, only some of which we mention here. As you read through the first 12 verses of Matthew 5, commonly styled the Beatitudes, you will note that there's no reference to faith, that there's no reference to repentance, and that there's no reference to baptism. In fact, there's no explicit reference anywhere to God's redemptive plan in these 12 verses. Yet, what Jesus first taught in the Beatitudes was all about salvation. More importantly, it was all about the truths, that is, the concepts, that produced a certain kind of individual, the character, that lived a Jesus Kingdom disciple kind of way, that is, their conduct. And those three principles, if we get them, they provide the foundation, the why, that lies beneath our faith, that prompts our repentance, that yields our will to Christ's will first in our baptism and then continually throughout life. Starting where Jesus started in this text, I, you, we are wholly or completely lost before a holy God, and then continuing to the point that we, me, you, all of us, can stand against all the persecution that Satan and his minions can muster. That's the message, in thumbnail version, of what Jesus taught in this text. I don't know about you, but I need that reassuring message from Jesus every day. With God's blessings, I hope that you listen to this series and follow the slides along the way. You will find that series linked and freely downloadable, along with the accompanying slides, at the free page of internationalgospelhour.com. And finally, before we get started in our lesson, we encourage you to join the thousands who keep up with International Gospel Hour and visit facebook.com/International Gospel Hour and twitter.com/Jody Apple. Let's start our study of Matthew chapter 26. Let's preview the two ways that we always summarize each new chapter of Matthew's Gospel. First, we summarize the key words that we find in the chapter. And then second, we summarize, that is, we outline, the key thoughts presented. The first summary will give us an idea of some of the general teaching that we will encounter as we read, think, and study our way through the text. The second summary will provide more detail than our brief word study, but nowhere near what we will find as we engage in a verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Matthew 26. We begin that verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study after we conclude these two summaries. Here's what we will learn from the key word studies of Matthew 26. We will note this again as we start our chapter outline and overview. But Matthew 26, at 75 verses, stands as the longest chapter in this gospel record. It contains 1,241 words in the original text, appearing in 336 different forms. We have routinely noted that our key word studies, though valuable in their own right, still provide only the most cursory of insight as we seek to understand a chapter's purpose, its message, and its application. Because of the length of this chapter, what we will do here, though valuable, will fall even further short of a complete grasp of its teaching. 2, because of the unique circumstances conveyed in the chapter, the plot to kill Jesus, his Bethany anointing, Judas's planned betrayal, the Passover commemoration, the Lord's Supper prelude, the garden prayers of Jesus, the actual Judas betrayal, the arrest of Jesus, the start of Jesus' many trials, and then finally, Peter's denial. Because all this takes place in this one very long chapter, it will be difficult, okay, it will be impossible to do justice to it in our week-long study. We will, accordingly, at a later date, do a follow-up segment to be posted at the IGH 260 part of our website. You will find all of these IGH 260 programs linked at the main page of internationalgospelhour.com. Because there are 336 unique forms of terms found in Matthew 26, we will not have the time to do justice to all of them. That should be obvious. But as you recall from our prior studies, many of them are helping terms that, though part of the overall teaching of the text, do not contribute the same level of meaning as do the more significant terms that we will read in the chapter. That's not devaluing anything, only placing the meaning of terms and phrases in their proper perspective. Frequently occurring connecting words, for example, like those translated as and, also, even, and yet, or but, the second most frequently occurring term in this text, while significant, do not carry the same weight as does the word for Jesus. Those connecting terms show up 70 times in this chapter, while the word for Jesus only 23 times. We do not necessarily evaluate the significance of the word and as carrying greater weight than the word for Jesus just because it appears three times more frequently, plus one, in this context. The point, the number of times a word appears in a passage does not have any automatic intrinsic connection to its significance. Terms appearing once may be considerably more important than terms appearing 100 times. It's not necessarily the frequency with which a term occurs, but the context that determines both its meaning and its importance. With that in mind, let's tackle the term starting with the most frequently occurring words and then moving into what appears to be the more significant terms. Remember, with 336 different forms, we will not be able to address all of the terms of greater significance. The three most frequently occurring terms in Matthew 26 have been the three most frequently occurring terms in several prior chapters in Matthew's Gospel. The only difference here, their numbers are higher because of the chapter's greater length. So, we note that the most frequently occurring term in Matthew, chapter 26, translated as the, who, or which, will be found 181 times. The next term in the frequency list, the word rendered as and, also, even, and yet, or but, appears 70 times. And the third term in order of appearance with reference to frequency is the word expressed as he, she, it, and so forth. That will be seen 59 times. Those three terms account for 310 of the 1,241 total original words in the chapter, or just under 25% of the total word count. That means, on average, we will read one of these three original terms about every fourth word. Think about that for a moment. Three different terms account for one quarter of all of the words in the chapter, and 333 different forms, 100 times as many, account for 75% of the total words. The point? Mastering, or at least grasping, the most frequently occurring terms in a context goes a long way towards understanding that context. As always, this caveat. That does not mean that we should blow off other less frequently appearing terms. We should acquaint ourselves with every word and thought in a context as we have time, opportunity, and ability to do so. The most frequently occurring term of major significance, one that we have seen in this role many times before in Matthew, the term translated as to say, speak, tell. As we read, we will find it 56 times in the chapter. Though Matthew 26 does not appear as one of the five major discourse sections of Jesus in Matthew, there remains a lot of dialogue and discussion. In the chapter, we will find the following speakers: Jesus, Matthew 26, 1, 10, 13, 18, and many other verses. Jesus in prayer, 26, 39, 42, and 44. The religious leaders, verse 5. The disciples, verse 8, 17, 22, 35, and others. Several references to those who were called or named, coming from the same term, verse 3, verse 14. Judas speaking, verse 14, 25, and 48. Peter speaking, verse 33 and 35, the false witnesses, verse 61, the high priest, starting in verse 62, members of the council, in verse 66 and 68, the servants who saw Peter in the courtyard, verse 69 and 71, others in the crowd at that same courtyard, verse 73. So, though Jesus was not the principal speaker in this chapter, and though Jesus was not engaged in the extensive dialogue and discussion that he had with some specific group of his adversaries, the scribes or the Pharisees or the Sadducees, as in previous chapters, because of the sheer number of speakers in the chapter, the terms for to say, speak, tell show up many times. The personal pronoun for I or we appears 36 times. It usually identifies one of the speakers that we just listed. Jesus used it to refer to himself, as did Judas, Peter, the rest of the apostles, and the members of the council. We should not be surprised to see the speakers frequently refer to themselves in this way. It happens all of the time. Next, the term translated as but and now appears 31 times as we read the text. Just a very brief reminder here, though often appearing as a connective, it also shows up to introduce points of contrast. To include more significant terms in our summary, let's list, with the briefest of comments possible, several more. The word translated as you appears 29 times, another frequently appearing personal pronoun. The word Jesus appears 23 times, obviously referring to Jesus, God's Son. The term for to be or exist 16 times. The term not or no, a term of contrast and negation. Example, but me you do not have always. That appears 13 times. The term translated as them, one of Matthew's frequently occurring ways to move the narrative forward. Example, then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled. The term for high priest appears 11 times, as does the term for disciple or student. The term translated as deliver or deliver over appears 10 times in Matthew 26. This term was usually used to refer to Jesus being delivered, that is, betrayed, in order to be crucified. The term translated as man appears 9 times in the text. References to Peter, 8 times in the text. References to son, 7 times, 6 of which are used to identify Jesus as the Son of Man. But the term was used once to identify the two sons of Zebedee. The word rendered as not or less appears 6 times, another term denoting contrast. The word translated as dagger or sword appears 6 times. The word translated as to answer or to reply appears 5 times. The word translated as grasp, be strong, take possession, appears 5 times. It's another term, alongside the word translated as deliver that we just noted, to show that Jesus was taken, that Jesus was seized, or, as we would commonly say it, that Jesus was arrested. The word translated as pray appears 5 times, as Jesus was frequently praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The word for 12, referring to the 12 disciples, appears 4 times. The word translated as to eat appears 4 times, always in the context of the Passover or precursor to the Lord's Supper observance. The word translated as day or lifetime or time period, that appears 4 times in Matthew 26. It refers to the immediacy of Jesus' trials and crucifixion, his daily teaching in the temple, the new day when he would observe the memorial feast with the disciples, and to the false accusers who said that Jesus would destroy the temple in 3 days. The word that means note, pay attention, look, appears 4 times in the chapter. The word rendered as know, often used as Peter denied that he knew Jesus, also appears 4 times. The word for Passover, 4 times in the chapter. The word for Father, often referring to the Heavenly Father, also 4 times. The word translated as drink, always used with reference to the Lord's Supper precursor, also 4 times. And then finally, the term translated as rooster appears 3 times. It was used in reference to the prophetic crowings of the rooster that Jesus said would occur after Peter denied him 3 times. A reminder, our word study surveys only briefly introduce us to some of the key thoughts and some of the key ideas that we will encounter in the study of Matthew 26. They provide a very broad overview of the chapter, but for the close-up details, we will have to explore the text more deeply in our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study. That comes up after our outline of the chapter, which we tackle next. As we get into our outline, our overview of the chapter, consider this. The danger of doing what we are doing, covering one chapter of the New Testament each week, hits us big time in the latter chapters in Matthew, most notably in this chapter, Matthew 26. Covering the earlier chapters in Matthew was much simpler. The first 3 chapters had 25, 23, and 17 verses respectively. Take a look at the most recent chapters that we have studied. Matthew 24, 51 verses. Matthew 25, 46 verses. And then look forward two chapters. There's Matthew 26, our current study. It contains 75 verses, followed by Matthew 27 with 66 verses. If you listen to our IGH 260 programs regularly, you know how hard it is to get everything in one chapter into our normal one-week Sunday through Friday broadcast schedule. Because there's always so much more to say at the end of the week, there are planned bonus programs necessary in order to complete the study of almost every chapter in Matthew. And now, as we move closer to the end of Matthew, we are faced with two consecutive chapters totaling 141 verses. To cover them in our normal schedule, we would have to gloss over some incredibly important parts of each chapter. To do a better job, we will, it appears, have to come back later and tack on final segments again. What's so important at this point, of course, where we are in Matthew. Jesus' major sermons and discourses are now behind us. The last days and the last hours of Jesus' life are immediately upon us. There are his trials, his trip to Gethsemane, his betrayal, his death on the cross. How can we afford not to spend the time covering every detail of these chapters? To be sure, we need to read and reread and study and pray about these passages many times after concluding these studies. We will always learn more as we continue to study. For now, we must take in as much as we possibly can. We must think about it. We must let the message sink in. Let the message change us today, change us tomorrow, and then let us return to the message as soon and as often as we can to be changed again and again. Changed, hopefully, to be more like the Lord who loved us and died for us. Changed, hopefully, to serve, to honor, and to glorify Him in all that we think, say, and do, and with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Let's begin our overview, our outline of Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, verses 1 through 5, the plan to kill Jesus. The first two verses are introduced with, "Now it came to pass." In verse 1, after Jesus completed the fifth major discourse, bookended by the statement in Matthew 26, 1, he told the disciples, verse 2, that the Passover was only 2 days away. At that time, Jesus, the Son of Man, would be delivered up to be crucified. Verses 3 through 5, introduced with the phrase, "Then the chief priests." In verse 3, the religious leaders gathered at Caiaphas's, the high priest's palace. Verse 4, there they planned to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. Verse 5, they would not do so during the feast, that is, the feast of the Passover, because they feared an uproar among the people. Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13, Jesus at Bethany, anointed at the house of Simon the leper. Verses 6 through 9 are introduced with the words, "And when." Verse 6, Jesus was in Bethany at Simon the leper's house. Verse 7, a woman anointed him with costly oil, pouring it on Jesus' head, as he, Jesus, was sitting at the table. In verse 8, the disciples saw it. They were indignant. They were concerned that it was wasteful. Verse 9, they reasoned that the oil could have been sold for a lot of money, and that money given to the poor. Verses 10 through 13 were introduced with the words, "But when Jesus was aware of it." Verse 10, Jesus, when he was aware of their thinking, spoke to the disciples and asked why they troubled this woman. Jesus declared that she has done a good work for me. Verse 11, Jesus reasoned, "You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me with you." Verse 12, "As she poured oil on me," Jesus said, "she anointed me for my burial." Verse 13, "What she did," Jesus called it this gospel, "what she did would be preached in the whole world, because what she has done will be told as a memorial to her." In Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16, Judas's betrayal of Jesus. Verse 14, Judas, one of the 12 apostles, went to the chief priests. Verse 15, he asked them what they would give him if he delivered Jesus to them. They gave him 30 pieces of silver. Verse 16, from that point forward, Judas looked for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Matthew 26, verses 17 through 25, the final Passover of Jesus. Verse 17, on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, also known as the Passover Feast, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him where he wanted them to prepare for you to eat the Passover. Verse 18, Jesus directed them to go into the city, meaning Jerusalem, to a certain man, and tell that man that the teacher, whose time was at hand, would keep the Passover at his house along with the disciples. Verse 19, the disciples did what Jesus told them to do, and they prepared for the Passover. Verse 20, when the evening of the Passover arrived, Jesus sat down with the apostles. Verse 21, as they were eating, Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." Verse 22, they were sorrowful, and each one began to ask, "Lord, is it I?" In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 26. This reminder as we conclude, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope first that it glorified God, but second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in the series by going to the Media tab at our site at internationalgospelhour.com.